Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, you can't have New York without sports. And you can't have sports without the fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
You're 66.
WFAN, New York.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you. And Seahawks get a big win. Any win in the playoffs is big. 17-9 over the Philadelphia Eagles. To break it down, we bring in Greg Bell of the Tacoma Tribune. Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm Lori. I'm well. Hello, New York. How are you?
thanks for stopping by, New York. You know, to me, there's a few big stories that are going to jump off the page for here. But before we turn to, you know, whether there's a Jadeveon Clowney hit or any of that, one of the big stories here to me is, how did every team pass on DK Metcalf? You know, a 6'3" marvel who won the combine, and yet how did he last until the last pick of the second round?
Well, Lori, he had a cervical neck fracture in October 2018 at Ole Miss, ended his college career half a season early. A lot of people around him said he probably should never play football again. He was in a hospital bed in Oxford, Mississippi with a neck brace on, scared he may never play football. And that scared a lot of teams who didn't medically clear him or felt there were medical red flags. He had broken a foot earlier. He'd had a medical red shirt year before that at Ole Miss. And then there are a lot of NFL personnel types who thought he was a one-hit wonder who just ran go routes, and that's all he could do, and was a one-trick guy that couldn't play in an NFL route tree and play against different coverages in the league. What they overlooked, first, he's 6'4", 229, he runs a 4.3 40, mm-hmm. and there's no defensive back in the NFL who can do that, as yep. the Eagles show today. The second thing they overlooked was that the Seahawks scouts told us Mississippi's offense was just too simple for him. They didn't ask Metcalf to do anything more than nine routes, go routes down the field and beat a guy physically one-on-one. And had Mississippi's schemes asked him to do more, Metcalf would have shown more. And the Seahawks said, well, thank you very much. We'll trade up here to the second round and get a specimen that no one in the league can cover man-to-man. The Eagles tonight got themselves kicked out of the playoffs by sticking to man-to-man defense, which they have all season. And nobody could guard Metcalf one-on-one.
At what point did the Seahawks sense that they had a special player on their hands?
They say, Lori, it's cliche or trite to say, but they said at the first minicamp, they were shocked in May about how polished a route receiver he was. Because, as I said, they didn't see him do that at Ole Miss. But they saw him catching the ball away from his body, making sharp cuts, doing things that maybe a 4 or 5 year veteran in the NFL would do against different type of coverages. The Seahawks cornerbacks were talking about way back in minicamp about how this guy runs different routes every day. He's got a book on us already, and he's only a week into the league. They didn't see any of that in college, neither did the rest of the NFL, which is part of the reason, as I said, that he lasted that long. But they got way more. Pete Carroll said after the first minicamp, we got more than we bargained for here. We didn't know he was this finished of a product on top of his physical skill.
Talking to Greg Bell about the Seattle Seahawks and their win today against the Eagles. And another big story, obviously, out of this game and recently with the Seahawks is the return of beast mode. And, you know, certainly the Eagles and all their injuries, we've rarely seen a team have to play with the Eagles, and a credit to them, with all the injuries they had. But certainly Seattle had more than their fair share of injuries as well. What has the return of beast mode and Marshawn Lynch coming back to the team meant? Have you noticed a difference around the team?
Oh, absolutely. But, Lori, first, he would not be here if the Seahawks hadn't lost their top three running backs to season-ending injuries. It took that extreme of an occurrence for them to call him. They lost Chris Carson, a 1,200-yard rusher after an 1,100-yard season last year. Then they lost Rashad Penny, their first-round pick from 2018. Then they lost C.J. Procise, a third-down back. They were trying as the every-down back after the other two injuries. And then they said, okay, well, all we have is Travis Homer, a rookie sixth-round pick from Miami. Let's call up Marshawn Lynch. Look, you have to look beyond the numbers of what Lynch has given him right now. He's had touchdowns in each of the first two games, yes. But it's the vibe and how he carries himself in the locker room and on the field. There are guys, there are only five Seahawks who played with Lynch in the Super Bowl years through the last season he had played with them, 2015. The rest of them, 48 guys in the on the roster, are in complete awe of this guy. And they watch everything he does on the field, in the locker room, in the parking lot, in the cafeteria. And tonight, my game story was led by Lynch and Metcalf. I thought their dual plays in the third quarter changed the game. Lynch, first of all, the touchdown run, vintage Lynch, jumps at the three-yard line into three Eagles, bounces off all three of them, bowls through for a touchdown, electrifies the sideline. Then in the third quarter, he catches a little out route on third and one, goes down the sidelines and stiff arms the poor defensive back into the turf like a lawn dart, went straight into the ground, right in front of Carroll and the Seahawks bench. They explode again, tapping them on the helmet, a typical Marshawn Lynch play. Two plays later, Metcalf makes a diving catch. Nobody touches him. He rolls, sprints in one motion like a gymnast, and runs in for the touchdown. 17-6, game's pretty much over. That's what Lynch does. And so look at the numbers, 7 yards for six carries for 7 yards. Oh, he must not have been. It's the energy, the reverence that players have for him, the encouragement, that things like last week in the San Francisco game when he was encouraging Travis Homer, saying that the rookie was inspiring him with how hard he was running. That 21-year-old kid will be telling his grandparents about Marshawn Lynch coming up to his first NFL start. It's those kind of intangibles that can make a difference in playoff games. And when they go to Green Bay, they're going to be glad they have Marshawn Lynch on their sideline next weekend.
Yeah, you know, the Seahawks can frequently be criticized for the conservative nature of the play calling, offensive play calling, especially when Russell Wilson, very clearly the best player on the team, one of the best players in the league, and throughout the course of the season, as you were citing all those running backs, they tend to be more of a more conservative or run-first team. And yet, here we are, Brian Schottenheimer, offensive coordinator, very familiar to this market, you know, former offensive coordinator with the Jets, and yet, I thought you cited one of them, which is third and one. I don't think anybody thought that they would. It seemed like anytime Beast Mode, anytime Marshawn Lynch is in the game, they're probably running the ball, right? And not throwing it to him because he hasn't been around. So that was one call. And then the other that surprised me in terms of the Seahawks right now and where they're at, I don't know if you were surprised, but at the end of the game there, third and 10. And, you know, it's third and 10 at the Seattle 11. There's a minute 47 left in this game, and Seattle could have kept running the ball, and you've got a 40-year-old backup quarterback on the other side and taking your chances and punted away. And instead, they go for the win, and Russell Wilson heaving the ball up in the air to Metcalf for a 36-yard completion. That, to me, was a little bit of a surprise, and I thought an aggressive call. Were you surprised at all by those calls?
I wasn't totally surprised. It raised my eyebrow a little bit, but then I saw right before the snap, the Eagles were in zero coverage. Mm-hmm. No deep safety, man-to-man coverage like they had the whole night, and it was what Schottenheimer had counted on. He counted on the Eagles thinking, well, they're going to run the ball, make us take our third timeout on defense, and punt it out of their own end zone. But the Seahawks did not, they weren't confident their defense was going to stop McCown, even though he's 40 and played on 64 teams and was born in 1930. They had been moved on the entire night, both by the run and the pat, and I don't think they wanted to give the ball at midfield to McCown.
It was a one-score game. I mean, that's what's insane.
It was still 17-9, exactly. So they went for the win right there. Mm-hmm. And they said, look, you're going to play man coverage again. You're probably not going to have a single high safety, which they didn't. Try to get somebody on your team or in the state of Pennsylvania who can guard DK Metcalf one-on-one with the game on the line. And they didn't have anybody. Mm-hmm. They have never had anyone in team history, nobody in the NFL that can guard him in a single one-on-one situation. So he runs a go route past the guy he's covering. He jumps over the safety. Wilson said he probably could have thrown a touchdown pass there, but he knew Metcalf could outjump anybody on the field, so he just threw it up there so he could catch it, get the first down, and win the game. You're right. It did buck the trend of or the perception that Schottenheimer's too conservative. Couple things on that, though, Lori. One, they run the ball so much because their offensive line cannot pass block down in and down out. Mm. They have to have pass rushers that play them honestly, that have to read runner pass to start. The games that they've fallen behind and have to throw, Russell Wilson's been almost killed. So they have to run the ball to set up the – it's cliche, but that's how they have to do it for how their offensive line is constructed. And the other thing you can criticize Pete Carroll on is he still plays the game – field position, rely on your defense as if he has his defense from his Super Bowl years in the Legion of Boom. Well, he doesn't. And their defense gets them in trouble sometimes with missed tackles, with lacking a pass rush. We saw it some tonight. Even though they ended up with 7 sacks, I thought a lot of it was because McCown was holding onto the ball so long. They can be beaten if you give quarterbacks time to throw because they have coverage issues in the secondary and they have tackling issues. So you can definitely criticize Carroll for playing a run conservative game and field position game with a defense that's not nearly the championship quality it used to be.
Talking to Greg Bell, covers the Seahawks for the Tacoma Tribune. And, all right, we have to get to it. A lot of, obviously, Eagles fans are going to say it was the play of the game, and that was the hit to the head. Jadeveon Clowney, second series of the game in the first quarter, hits Carson Wentz as he's going down, hits him in the head. From your, it knocks Carson Wentz out of the game. And from your perspective, was it a late hit or a dirty hit, or should it not have been a penalty?
It was a late hit. It should have been penalized. I was looking in with binoculars during the play, Lori, and I was surprised the flag didn't come out. In today's NFL, that's almost always a flag. Even if it's not with the helmet, if you hit with your forearm or shoulder into the back of a quarterback's head, the flag comes out, especially when, if you see the replays, it's obvious that the helmet hit first, then the shoulder. He didn't need to do it because Bradley McDougal had already been sacking Wentz on the play, and Wentz was already under the ground. So I absolutely thought that should have been penalized. The referee after the game, Sean Smith, talked to the pool reporter, the NFL's pool reporter, and he said, well, the quarterback did not give himself up as a runner. He was still an active runner. And he thought it was, quote, incidental contact with the helmet. I'm not sure that's incidental. Even if it is incidental, in today's NFL, the incident of a head getting hit is a penalty.
Yep.
And I thought they missed the penalty there. I didn't think Clowney should have been from the game. I didn't think his intent was to take Wentz from the game. I do think that the hit warranted a penalty on the play.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's exactly how I saw it as well. Now, knowing the NFL, I wouldn't expect a suspension of any kind, but do you expect Clowney to get a fine for that play?
Yes, I do. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't. But like you said, I don't think they'll suspend him, especially for a playoff game. And I don't think the intent was there. He was remorseful after the game. He actually said... he said the Eagles fans were lighting him up already in person and on social media, told him he should go to prison, his whole family should go to prison.
And,
they already don't like him in Philadelphia for a hit he had as a Houston Texan on Nick Foles a couple years ago. So he's already hearing about it, both in social media and in person. But he said he didn't intend to knock him out of the game. Clowney told me he was surprised. He was not surprised, rather, that there wasn't a flag, and that he was surprised that Wentz left the game. He didn't think it was that hard of a hit. He said it was kind of a glancing blow that he didn't put a lot into. Even if you hit him with any part of your body to the head, it's usually a penalty, and that's what had the Eagles fans pretty upset. Although even if they flag Clowney there, Wentz is still going to be out of the game. So I'm not thinking that it's ultimately they would have gotten a first down, but McCown would end up playing the rest of that game.
Right. And I'm with you. I just thought it should have been a penalty. But I don't know that it would have had, calling one penalty there would have had as big an impact on the game as losing your quarterback. One of the topics I've been talking about earlier tonight on my show is this notion of a changing of the guard at quarterback in the NFL. And are we seeing Brady and Breeze and all of that. And we look ahead to, for instance, next weekend, the matchup, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, we've got Lamar Jackson playing, and all these young guns now everybody's all excited about. Is there something with Russell Wilson, who's sort of that man in the middle, has played in two Super Bowls, has won a Super Bowl, could have been, was in an MVP conversation for a lot of this year? You know, are we, as great as Russell Wilson has been, is he sort of in between and perhaps doesn't get his due as much as he should?
Well, one thing is he plays out in South Alaska, and everybody out there, we're far away from everybody else.
You're allowed to say that I'm not.
It's true. Maybe you're not allowed to say it. I used to work for the Associated Press when I was in Seattle and had all my bosses in New York. Anything west of the Hudson River, I get it. I totally get it. But the second thing is Wilson's now 30 years old. So he's done it for years and years and years, and there's not the wow factor that it used to be. You could argue that he's been the trendsetter in NFL mindsets for an elusive, undersized quarterback. Not that Lamar Jackson is as undersized as Wilson or Patrick Mahomes is as undersized. Kyler Murray is a perfect example, and Murray has talked about how Wilson paved the way to change NFL minds. Mm-hmm. But the extend-the-play quarterback, the unconventional playground style of football that breaks all the convention rules of throwing on time and staying in a pocket and adhering to your offensive line's protection, Russell Wilson started that. Mm-hmm. And they said that Russell Wilson was too short coming out of Wisconsin. And what are you doing, Seahawks, in the third round drafting a guy who isn't even 6 feet tall and can't even see over his lineman? Well, he doesn't have to see over his lineman because he runs around outside of him and make all his plays, or a large majority of them. The other thing that Wilson gets overlooked for, he's an extremely accurate pocket passer. The perception is he just plays street ball all the time. He's very good when he's in a system. He just happens to have an offensive line that doesn't hold a pocket for him very long. But when he can and is able to get the ball out on time, he's extremely accurate in the pocket. He's been some of the NFL's best passer ratings from the pocket the last couple of years. So he's a multidimensional player that I think because he's been doing it now for 8 years and he's 30 years old, doesn't get the wow factor of the newness of a Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. But he did change a lot of minds in thinking how the quarterback position is playing. There's no more Jeff George, sit back and wing the ball, tall, static quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's not the way the NFL thinks. And I think it gained a lot of momentum with the success of Russell Wilson in the last decade.
All right, only have about 30 seconds before I have to let you go. But looking ahead to next week, you'd think playing on the road would be a problem. This year's Seahawks, they were 7-1 in the regular season. They won today on the road. Give me one key to the game if they are going to win on the road in Green Bay.
It's cliche, but the two things I'll say, things. One, they have to run the ball to set up protection for Russell Wilson. The Packers are a team that could get after Wilson with the pass rush more than the Eagles did today. And the second thing is they have to get to Rodgers, which they've had trouble doing, especially in Green Bay. They've lost 8 in a row there. But to not necessarily to sack Rodgers, but get the ball out quickly to help their secondary. Because the Packers and Rodgers can find holes in this zone defense. If McCown can do it tonight, Rodgers is going to do it.
Yep.
Can the Seahawks and Jadeveon Clowney get to him and pressure him and get the ball out quickly? That can change the game. If Seattle doesn't have that, it's going to be a long day in Lambeau.
All right. Greg Bell, really, really appreciate the time. We'll see. Hopefully you'll ride it for a while. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Anytime, Lori. Always happy to talk to FAN. Went to college at West Point, so I'm New York in me still. Love to talk to New York. Thank you.
Well, thanks. Thanks for everything. If you served our country going to West Point, really appreciate that. Have a great night.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.